down for Head On. Good night.
Either rough it up. Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
This is the Global American Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Today is the last full day of campaigning before tomorrow's midterm elections. Thousands of volunteers across the country are involved in last-minute efforts to get out the vote. Up for grabs are all 435 House seats, 33 Senate seats, and 36 governor's offices. With today's deaths of two more U.S. soldiers in a helicopter crash north of Baghdad, the number of American military fatalities in Iraq so far this month has reached 18. Yesterday, two Marines and one soldier died in fighting in Anbar province. Also in Iraq, a curfew has been lifted following celebrations and protests in the wake of Saddam Hussein's war crimes conviction and death by hanging sentence. In an unprecedented move, an editorial appearing today in all four military newspapers published by the Military Times says it's time for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to go. The military papers cite a failed strategy in Iraq and compromised ability to lead. In Geneva today, the International Red Cross echoed the UN call for an immediate ban of cluster bombs against civilian targets. Analysts say the bombs are inaccurate and often fail to explode immediately. The Red Cross says more than 100,000 people have been killed or maimed by them in the past three decades. Haiti is the most corrupt country in the world, followed by Iraq, Guinea, and Myanmar, also known as Burma. That's according to Berlin-based Transparency International. The least corrupt, Finland, Iceland, and New Zealand. The U.S. ranks 20th on the list. In the Gaza, Palestinian authorities from both the Fatah and Hamas movements say they may announce today creation of a unified government. The two factions say their efforts may ease economic sanctions against the Palestinian territories. In Southern California, firefighters say wildfires threatening 100 homes is 30% contained. Efforts to stop the San Bernardino County blaze are hampered by high winds. In Western Washington, the state is bracing for flooding today. Heavy rains and winds have prompted evacuation of homes and hundreds of recreational hunters. In Kansas, two abortion clinics are petitioning the state Supreme Court to investigate the release of private medical records of patients by Fox News talk show host Bill O'Reilly and the Kansas Attorney General. The Kansas AG is already under investigation for election fundraising. QNN will provide special election coverage at the top of the hour starting at 5 p.m. Pacific tomorrow. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
If you have a telescope, you could see the planet Mercury crawling across the surface of the sun Wednesday. Mercury's transit can be seen at 2:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your next opportunity will be in 2016. South of New Zealand, near the Auckland Islands, a maritime warning is in place after about 100 icebergs were spotted, some of them floating in a major ocean shipping lane. OPEC's president says he'll consider additional production cuts in oil output if the world continues to report an oversupply. In October, October, OPEC approved a decrease in oil supplies of 1.2 million barrels a day. Former Fed Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan says he expects the U.S. housing market to continue to weaken some. However, he says the sharpest decline is over. GM says it has plans to build hybrid cars in China by 2008. The vehicles will be built at the Shanghai GM plant. Outback Steakhouse chain owner OSI has tentatively agreed to a buyout by an investor group, including its founders, for just over $3 billion in cash. Light sweet crude is trading for $60.02 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 120 points at 12,105. The NASDAQ up 35 at 2365. The S&P 500 up 15 at 1379. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's Monday evening here on the East Coast, and the sun has disappeared from view back here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad to have you along. It's been a long weekend. It's been a long 5 days or so. I've seen the insides of a computer more than I've seen my wife and kids in the last week. But it's all worth it to be here. For us to have this conversation, for us to be able to chat in the chat room, post on the message boards, talk together here live, post messages at the on the network website, headonradionetwork.com. It's all worth it for that to happen. And of course, it's worth noting that a river of sleaze and filth is now officially flowing like a mighty river across this nation. And like something out of a J.R.R. Tolkien novel, it emanates from one filthy place, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the very dark heart of a political machine that history will look back on and wonder at our willingness to tolerate it. With a little bit of luck and a whole lot of voters, maybe tomorrow we begin to stop tolerating it. What do I mean by a river of sleaze? It's all over the country. Let's see. Over the past several days, voters throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Oldie Dominion, have filed complaints about incidents that were described as being designed to suppress voter turnout in heavily Democratic and African-American neighborhoods. Gene Jensen is the secretary of the Virginia State Board of Elections, and Gene Jensen reached the conclusion that the incidents appear widespread and deliberate. This is a quote. There are now credible reports from multiple jurisdictions around the Commonwealth that establish a pattern of dirty tricks being employed to confuse and frustrate Virginia's voters from exercising their right to vote tomorrow. In addition to reports that have been received by the Democratic Party of Virginia, these local election officials have been receiving reports from concerned voters. My God. Now, that's but don't worry, that's just Virginia. Let's see, what are the... And, you know, we've noted from time to time that these thugs, these creeps, these anti-democratic hooligans of the Republican Party, they're not that creative. It's the same old garbage. The same old crap. What are they doing in Virginia? Let's see, they're telling voters that if they go and vote, they'll be arrested. An individual by the name of Tim Daly from Clarendon, Virginia, got a call saying that if he votes on Tuesday, he will be arrested. A recording of his voicemail. Let's see, you can hear it at webforsenate.com/media/phone_message.wave. Oh, dear God. Go to Web for Senate, webforsenate.com. You can hear it. Agnes might even be trying to bring that up even as we speak so that we can all hear it. webforsenate.com/media/phone_message.wave, WAV. But even if you don't go and listen to it, this is what it says. This message is for Timothy Daly. This is the Virginia Elections Commission. We've determined you are registered in New York to vote. Therefore, you will not be allowed to cast your vote on Tuesday. If you do show up, you will be charged criminally. There's only one problem. Timothy Daly has been a registered Virginia voter since 1998. This is where the Republican Party lives. It's the same old garbage. It's the 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, the pasty, doughy, white Republicans were outside predominantly black polling places in Louisville, Kentucky, threatening voters. See your ID. I got to see that driver's license before you can go in the polling place. I'm a poll watcher. And it is, like I said, a filthy river of sleaze flowing across the United States. Virginia? Oh, yeah, Virginia. Let's see. Supposed web volunteers in Virginia are calling to tell people their polling place has changed. This is apparently a big, popular, filthy, dirty trick because they're doing it in New Mexico as well. If you have a Hispanic last name or something vaguely, I don't know, maybe if you've just got a last name that ends in a vowel in New Mexico, the Republican Party has recently been enjoined because they're making phone calls telling people that their polling place has changed. This makes my head hurt. You know, one of those headaches, you know, that's right up there just above the eyebrows, and you kind of close your eyes and you put your two fingers on the bridge of your nose and you just make it go up. Why does the Republican Party so desperately fear the democratic process? Why? But of course, you know the answer to that question. They fear the democratic process because they cannot win without cheating. And cheat, they will, by God, do. If it's legal, they'll do it. If it's marginally legal, they'll do it. And if it is outright illegal, they will do it. They're doing it in New Hampshire. Let's see, Cape Charles, Virginia, is the home of Peter Bauman. Got a call from a so-called web volunteer saying his polling place had changed. He said, no, I'm a poll worker and I know where I vote. The call came from California. And they are logging these calls in Virginia, dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens. And these, let's see, oh, a flyer in Buckingham County, Virginia. A flyer paid for by the Republican National Committee. It says, skip this election. Many people have called the Board of Elections to see if the election is still on. Now, what it says in small print is, skip this election. Then the fine print, don't let the tax and spend liberals win. You know what? There is not a dime's worth of difference between these kind of tactics and guys in white sheets with pillowcases on their head, a burning cross, and a copy of the the Confederate battle flag on horseback riding through the night and making nooses out of old hemp rope. There is not a damn dime's worth of difference in any of this. And you know, that's just a story about Virginia. Like I said, New Mexico, it's going on. It's going on across the country. It's going on, political phone messages in New Hampshire. A homeowner in Hillsborough, New Hampshire, got the same message several times in one day. It began by stating it had information about Paul Hodes, the Democratic challenger for the 2nd Congressional District. After a few seconds, the ad turned on the attack. And it isn't until the end you find out it was sponsored by the Republican National Committee. On and on and on. Here we go.
You have three messages. Message one.
This is messages for Timothy Taylor. This is the Virginia Elections Commission. We've determined that you're registered in New York to vote. Therefore, you will not be allowed to cast your vote on Tuesday. If you do show up, you will be charged.
That's one person who caught them, Timothy Daly. If you show up, you will be charged. And see, I'm kind of mean. Kind of makes me, you know, if I was Timothy Daly, I would, by God, show up at my polling place with a ball bat in my hand. Republican vote challengers. You know, it's all that business out of the movie version of the Untouchables. You know, it's Robert De Niro standing behind the bad mafiosi with a ball bat in his hand. You like baseball? I like baseball. It is gonna be ugly tomorrow. It's gonna be really ugly tomorrow. And I hope you're of the same kind of mindset that I am, that the knowledge of how ugly it is going to be makes you all the more determined to see to it that you get out and you, by God, vote. Because these pigs, these verminous fascists, do not aim to let go of government willingly. Lie, cheat, steal. You know, this is the old thing which Nixon thug was it? G. Gordon Liddy that said he would kill his own grandmother for or was that Christian conservative Charles Colson? I can't remember which. One of them said they would kill their grandmother for Richard Nixon. It hasn't gone away. It's only gotten worse. Because there's some, you know, there's some new technology out there that people can use. Oh yeah. How about the political campaign ad that went out? Oh, I forget which campaign it was, but it was a mailer that went out to seniors with a biohazard warning on it. Slamming the Democratic candidate. How about the other Democratic candidate who had a Republican email go out with a warning that said sex offender notice? Or how about the Republican campaign ad that went out that looked like federal government mail from the Social Security Administration? How about that? What would make the Republican Party so desperate? as to engage in that level of outright unmitigated sleaze. Could it be the fear of the slamming prison door? Yeah, that's a possibility. Could it be naked greed? Naked power? Lust? Sure it could. It could be, or of course it's just a combination of all of these things. Coupled with terror of the American electorate. Out in Missouri, the Missouri Supreme Court has overturned that stupid, stinking law that says, oh, we need 18 forms of ID before you can vote. It's been overturned. The Missouri Secretary of State went to vote. And they demanded her ID three times when she voted absentee last Friday. It goes on and on and on. San Diego County, California, has had electronic voting machines unattended, unsupervised on sleepovers with poll workers for something on the order of 3 weeks. It is gonna be ugly tomorrow. And meanwhile, the parishioners, the sheeple, out at New Life Mega Church in Colorado are saying, hearing about Pastor Ted Haggard's problems has made me want to make sure I vote all the more because the liberals done this to him. Praise Jesus. Satan attacked Pastor Ted. Why? What is it with these Republicans and these evangelicals that they have to blame invisible people instead of understanding that human beings are fallible, or that perhaps Pastor Ted is just gay? And it's not that, you know, that's not a character flaw. That's just how you are as a human being. But they have to blame the devil for the fact that Pastor Ted went out and bought meth and snorted meth or smoked meth or ran meth into his arm or God only knows where and got himself a deep tissue massage with special emphasis on the pleasures of the man. That's what the advertisement says that caught Pastor Ted's eye. Yeah. And on the ad, I know talking about photographs on the radio is not a real good thing, but there's on the ad for Mike Jones, who was the masseur who helped Pastor Ted acquire his meth. There's a picture, and Mike Jones is apparently, well, he's like a former Mr. Colorado or something. Bodybuilder, you know, that gives on his website, he gives measurements for his biceps and his thighs and thus and far and how big and tiny his waist is. And then there's this naked picture of Mr. Jones. It's a back view. It's a back view. Agnes has seen the photograph. And it's back view of Mr. Jones, who has a little Santa hat on and a Santa teddy bear right behind his butt. And he's crouching.
It looked as if he was giving birth to a teddy bear. It was bad.
She's scarred for life, I tell you.
My eyes are bleeding.
My eyes.
I need therapy.
And so, you know, Pastor Ted can't just come out and say, I'm gay! Some people are straight, some people are gay, some people are asexual. And no, but he can't do that because he has engaged himself in a line of hypocrisy for so long that he will be exposed as what he had confessed to being, a deceiver and a liar. But then, you know, Mark Foley said, you know, I sent the dirty text messages because a priest diddled me and I'm a drunk. Well, now we've got it. No. He didn't come out. No, he didn't do it because he's a meth head. Oh, heck no. He did it because an invisible bad guy made him. You know, what's that old comics line about the, you know, the devil never shows up with the horns and the pitchfork and the... No, he shows up in the form of a blackjack dealer going, house has 17, you got 16, you want to take the... Come on, take the hit! So let's take a break. Your phone calls, as ever, are welcome. This is the Head On Radio Network. And this is a song by Paul Hipp. I think you'll dig it. We'll play it all the way through. I'm Bob.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bruce Birch. We know what talk radio sounds like under the control of the disease of addiction.
This is Michael J. Fox. He's got Parkinson's disease. And it's in this commercial, he is exaggerating the effects of the disease.
I'm on the detox bench, way down on last breath on. I've been raking leaves with lies at the end of this lead up the yard.
I recently took a leave of absence to get a tune-up for my own recovery. I'm back and in a new time slot, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network. Hope you join me.
7 minutes and change before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And you know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Email rushes in madly to bob@headonradio.com. And, you know, just to give you an idea of how sleazy things really, really are, after, with you know, in the wake of Mark Foley, and the Haggard scandal, and the fact that it appears that the Republican Party and the evangelical movement is probably one great big closet. What do you get? Well, you get Jerry Falwell. Quote, "There's some great and godly men and women in the Congress, but for every one of them, there's a Hillary Clinton and a Nancy Pelosi." Oh, head, meet microphone. This is just disgusting. The Reverend Falwell is a proud member of the Republican Party, a staunch conservative. And he, let's see, Don Sherwood running for re-election as a Republican from a district in, what, northeastern Pennsylvania? Who recently settled a case brought by his mistress! Because during the course of a massage, he went congressional. I would have said postal, but apparently no, he went congressional on her and started choking her to death. His mistress, not his wife. His mistress. There's some great and godly men and women in the Congress, like Don Sherwood, like Mark Foley, like Tom DeLay, like John Boner, like Bob Ney, like Conrad Burns. Godly men. Like Stephen Dreyer. Yeah, there's your, by the way, Dreyer, isn't he about half out? Your lung sounds great, Agnes.
Sorry.
That's okay. Double pneumonia will do that for you.
Working on it.
Agnes is working with double pneumonia.
Nothing about
you go to Washington, there's some great and godly men and women in the Congress, but for every one of them, there's a Hillary Clinton. For every one of them, there's a Nancy Pelosi. Imagine San Francisco Pelosi, Speaker of the House. Jesus. Imagine Denny Hastert, the sweaty wrestler who has yet to answer questions about whether or not he had inappropriate contact with little boys while he was a high school wrestling coach. This was a sermon on November 5th, and Falwell said, Hollywood! Oh, there are a few believers there. Most of them are loonies or fruitcakes. They're against everything high, holy, and sacred. Well, you know, Reverend Falwell, let's go talk to Pastor Ted Haggard about high and holy. Let's see. Movie stars are moral perverts for having babies out of wedlock. You almost got to be a homosexual to be recognized in the entertainment industry anymore.
Is Mel Gibson a homosexual?
Ismail? I don't know.
Last I heard,
Mel's thing was Ty Hooker's, but, you know. No, stop. Just stop. But this is where we are on the night before the election. This is Bush-merica, where it doesn't matter who votes. What matters is who counts the votes. And Diebold will be counting the votes tomorrow, and ES&S will be counting the votes tomorrow, and we will vote by touch screens that can be hacked in less than 10 seconds. And we will vote by optical scans that can be hacked. We will vote by everything except the single most common sense method of casting a ballot that has existed on this planet since representative democracy was invented by the Athenians, and that is writing the candidate's name or marking a box by the candidate's name or putting an X by the candidate's photograph on a piece of paper with a pencil. Anything but that. Anything but common sense. And that tells you everything you need to know. Because the Republicans would actually have to work harder to steal an election if it was on a paper ballot. Here, it's a 10-second affair involving a paperclip and a Diebold machine, and the whole damn network gets corrupted. So I don't know. Well, let's talk a minute about the schedule. We will have a full broadcast day tomorrow. Dr. Bill at noon Eastern, followed by Mark Levine at 2, followed by Guy James at 3, John Fox at 5, all times Eastern again, me at 6. We will probably rerun Mark Levine from 9 p.m. to 10, and at 10 p.m. We'll bring Bruce Birch aboard. And, of course, at 10 p.m. tonight, Bruce Birch will come on board. Welcome, and we're so glad to have him back and so proud of him for doing the hard work he had to do and staying true to his vision of helping us continue to build this network. So he'll be back at 10 Eastern tonight. And tomorrow night, I don't know, I'm inviting anyone and everyone on the network to sort of play a round robin of in the programming to talk about the elections as they transpire and as the returns begin to come in. Heck, we'll be on the air till midnight, and maybe I'll be in there with Bruce. Bruce will be in there with me. John will join me, whomever and however and whyever. It's a free for all. It's a front porch free for all tomorrow night. As we you know, look to see if democracy can survive the Republican Party. You know, if you ever wondered whether they actually care about freedom in the United States, watching the Republican Party around election time is living proof that they not only don't care, they actively oppose and despise the idea of representative democracy. Why else would they need to keep other people from voting? See, I mean, look at that. That's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democrats are out there trying to get more people to vote. The Republicans are out there trying to keep people from voting. And they're not trying to keep people from voting who don't have a right to vote. They're trying to keep people from voting who should vote. Who are, you know, citizens. Who have no reason not to vote. Except for the fact that the Republican Party doesn't want them to. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Jim joins us this evening. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
Oh, okay. How are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good.
Just a thought I wanted to share with you. I was watching CBS Sunday Morning with Charles Osgood, mm-hmm. and they have a commentary by a very, very good reporter. And also commentator Nancy Giles, and she was talking about the American system of voting and how we are going through such extreme efforts to promote elections in places like Iraq and things like that, and they make it very simple over there. They have a purple finger and a paper ballot, and yet in this country we've got Diebold. And God only knows what they're processing, because it's good stuff in and garbage out in most cases, or that's what history tells me. We have voting that opens at different places in different states. There's no uniform, you know, poll openings and closings. It's different time zones in different states. And, you know, basically, I think in this country, what they're trying to do and what they've been trying to do is almost to discourage people from voting. And yet we're spending $11 million a day to supposedly promote free elections in a place in the halfway across the world that really is doing better in a sense than we are. I mean, a paper ballot and a purple finger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that to me, that'd be the simplest thing.
Well, it's...
And they could use my bird finger.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and you don't have to go half the world away. Canada votes on paper ballots. The United Kingdom votes on paper ballots. Most of the so-called industrialized world votes on paper ballots.
Well, they want... obviously, the Republicans don't want this because, of course, they can use their... First, they can contract all this stuff out to their Debo friends and people like that. And secondly, the data can be manipulated shamelessly the way it has been. And, you know, it's their own way of trying to maintain, they're just grasping for power. But I just hope that we can take the House back, and the Senate, I can't say much about that. It doesn't look too good. I'm worried about Tennessee.
Well, you know,
what's happening there with Harold Ford?
Tennessee is a sickening example of just that filthy little ad, you know, with the Harold, call me, you know, and the white woman. It doesn't matter how many people that ad angered, Jim. All that had to do was motivate the 1 or 2% of Tennesseans who were still hardcore racists and would gladly go to a Klan rally, and that 1 or 2% would be enough. The Republicans figured to swing an election.
I never understood that advertisement or a political thing. I never understood it, really. I mean,
well, you're not a racist, Jim. You're not supposed to get the code.
Am I to infer from that that he is going to call that woman and they're going to have sex? Is that the deal?
Well, you know how it goes. You know, our white women aren't safe with Harold Ford around. That was the meaning of that, and the reason you didn't get it was because you are not an unreconstructed racist of the old South.
Well, now they were even less safe with Bill Clinton around, but he's white.
Well, yeah, but that's the point. He's white.
I know, but they sure made it up of that. You know, it's just incredible the filth and stuff that they will throw at other people, and yet you've got some of their paladins like Reverend Haggard, who now has admitted that he has lied and has been a mess freak and is, you know, cavorting with some male trainer or hooker or whatever, and God only knows what else is going on. I mean, you know, it's just sickening to me.
It is, you're well versed in history, Jim. So am I, and I understand that the political process in the United States of America has always been dirty to one degree or another.
Oh Lord, yeah. I mean,
Sally Hemings. Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, I mean, all the way back to Sally Hemings, to the scurrilous lies that Alexander Hamilton foisted off on Aaron Burr. You know, there's plenty of it.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But the question becomes one of, do we want to improve? Do we want to get better? Do we, Abraham Lincoln referred to the better angels of our nature. And you know, do we want to appeal to those better angels, or do we just want to continue to wallow in the filth?
Oh, I think those angels have taken flight.
They may very well have.
And, you know, it's just a matter of people buying votes and, you know, while cemeteries voting, and then, of course, you've got just outright data manipulation, and then you've got interventions at certain levers and power being pulled to certify bogus elections and things of that nature. We don't have some of the tactics that have been used in the banana republics and in some of the places in Eastern Europe and places, and even, you know, where we talk about how fraudulent elections have been conducted in those countries, you know, we're getting to the point that, you know, we can't hold a candle to them.
No.
They can't hold a candle to us.
They just managed to have a safe, clean election in Nicaragua yesterday.
Well, I just can't understand. Why can't we have a band of purple dye and a paper ballot and let that be it?
Maybe.
I mean, you've got to have all these credentials to vote. I mean, in some states, you got to have a driver's license. You got to have an ID card. I mean, there is no uniform consistency as far as the voting regulations are concerned. And, you know, it's like what they're trying to do is to stifle democracy in this country, and yet we're spending $11 million a day to allegedly export it. And that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Does it to you?
No. No, it doesn't make any sense to me. But we're dealing with people who, and I think it's the conclusion we ultimately have to reach. The opposition in the people who oppose the way that you and I consider things, and folks who listen to this program, those people loathe the idea of representative democracy, because the only people they want to represent are their corporate cronies, what should be government service is actually, it becomes a revolving door for graft and corruption and the waste and abuse, and they don't like the government that the framers put together, Jim. They actively oppose it and despise it.
Well, they're trying to manipulate for their own ends, you know, basically, and they're trying to use it as a milk cow or a cash cow, what they're trying to do in many cases.
Well, precisely, and the fact that they have to keep people from voting in order to maintain power tells you what they think of the process.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow it's going to rain, which is not a good thing.
No.
Hell, it would not, but it is, and you know, that will keep some people away.
It absolutely blows me away to think that people will give up their franchise, a franchise that people in other parts of the world have been willing to die for, because it's raining.
Well, you know what kills me is more people voted on American Idol than they did in the entire country in the last election.
Yep.
That is what blows my mind. And that's what Jancy Giles was talking about yesterday on TBS Sunday morning. And
they will do so again on American Idol.
And you know, who gives a shit on American Idol? Excuse me. Who gives a rat's ass about those people?
Right. I couldn't care less what happens on Survivor Island.
Yeah, me either. I mean, you know, you got some gay guy running around naked. Now he's in prison because he didn't pay his taxes on the first one they ran. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and plus he was ugly as homemade sin.
Well, I'll leave that. Yeah. But more people, you know, and you know, let's be fair. More people will vote in baseball's all-star balloting than will vote in a president or a congressional election. This is a broken system, and it needs reform. You know, you point out the lack of uniform standards. It needs reform, but it doesn't need reform that winds up with machine voting, because you know, ultimately, Jim, when you vote on a computer, you're not voting, it's the computer who's voting.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, that's, you know, people don't realize that what you put into that machine is not necessarily what's going to come out of it.
Well, exactly,
because it's going to go through a number of processors and a number of people who can manipulate that data. And it was done in Ohio, it's been done God only knows where else, and there's no way you can really track it. I mean, there is no way that you can, you know, make these people account and show where these ballots went, because they're just basically ones and zeros, and you know, a programmer can get in there and just completely skew the whole thing. And it's been done before, and I'm repeating myself, but I mean, I just don't understand why we can't have a simple standard of time. And, you know, if they can have people in Iraq who can just stick their finger in a vat of purple dye that shows they can't, they've been voted and they can't vote again, and have, and it's that simple of mechanism, it would do well here.
Yes, it would.
And that's just what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I think that, in spite of their efforts to have an honest election tomorrow, we may have a resemblance of one. At least I'm guardedly optimistic about that.
Now, you've already voted, though, right?
Yeah, I've already voted.
Yeah, I like the physical act of getting up and going to the polls. And
well, I have no desire to do so. I don't know why.
You know, this is just a little neighborhood polling place, you know, small rural community, and you know, you say hi and howdy to the poll workers, and it does something for me, because
it doesn't anything for me at all.
It reminds me of the sacrifices that have been made so that I can go and do that. I think that's what it boils down to for me.
Well, I've made enough sacrifices, quite frankly, for that privilege, and I do mine by mail, and at least I have a paper ballot and reasonable assurance that it will be counted. Whereas if you go to that machine, you don't know what's going to come out of it.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, I don't know if my vote's going to be counted tomorrow. Honest to God, I don't.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, good God, in our nation's history, how many and how many elections have they found just boxes of ballots that were never counted? I mean, it's just amazing where they just slipped away, what's happened. But, you know, we need reform, and we need uniformity, and we need a way in which people can not be intimidated and have to have all these different credentials in different states. I mean, like I say, there's, you know, it's almost, it's just basically like having different kinds of currency.
Yeah,
throughout the country,
right?
And it needs to be standardized. Of course, it's not in the ruling party's advantage to standardize these things. And what it does, it just makes these people who would like to get out and vote and have utilize their franchise, it discourages them doing that. But anyway, I've said enough, and that's how I feel. And And I'll stick my finger in my bird finger in a vat of purple dye, where everybody can see it.
I'll be tempted to do the same tomorrow. Jim, thanks so much.
You have a good evening, and good luck at the polls tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye now. And onward to our good friend David in Tennessee. David, welcome aboard.
Well, good evening, Bob. How the heck are you?
If I was any better, let's don't do that.
Well, and I'm wishing the best to the family. I hope everybody gets well soon. As far as these voting machines, let's be real careful about what we say and what we do. You know, the good news is there are 18,000 ruling districts over what voting machines are going to be used, and the bad news is there's 18,000 ruling districts over what voting machines could be used, but I would much rather see it fragmented and scattered. And yes, there are precincts in Philadelphia where you're going to vote in someone's house via a ballot where somebody named Alfredo will be looking over your shoulder all the way through to the most idyllic situation in the world somewhere else in America. But if we ever have a completely nationalized standard on voting equipment and procedure, I think it would be immensely easier to put in the fix, at least district by district.
Well, unless that national fix is to say all voting shall be on paper ballots and written, you know, with a little golf course pencil.
I have a friend in England that said to me he cannot believe that we are so uncaring about that process. I was told by three different friends in England that, and these folks, their lives span, their ages span a 30-year bracket. They cannot believe that we don't care more about that process, because they tell me to a person that were someone to say to the English, you're going to vote via computer, and days after that, the computers could have this, that, or the other problem, well established by the Princeton study in America, the island would just be in a complete uproar. But they're a group of people that naturally turn out 80% of the available voters. You know, neighbors apologize to neighbors for not voting, as opposed to laugh and say, I can't be bothered. So it's a whole different culture. But let's move on to that Harold Ford commercial. The Republicans put out a commercial that had single man, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It ran for a very short period of time in a very small number of markets. And for whatever reason, Harold bumped up when they ran that single man, wink, wink, nudge, nudge with pastel colors in the background. Nobody in Tennessee bought the idea that Harold was gay because he was not married. So they took a different tack. So
right.
I'm going to lay it out for everybody that doesn't get it. I'm 62. I started hearing when I was 20 among men that clinged to values that should have been stamped out 150 years ago. And these men, these evil men, would say, all a black man wants to do is impregnate a white woman. He lives to do that. There are those that still cling to that. So when there is a Playboy bunny character saying, I met Harold at the party, anybody that clings to that disgusting point of view is triggered to remember, my grandfather said it, my father said it.
Don't leave him alone with the white women.
Oh, let alone that. They will track down the white woman. And then there is the extra added item, Harold, give me a call. Because at that point, those people that ascribe to that hideous point of view, their memory is to be triggered. The memory is, he is such a charmer. He is such a snake in the garden. He is such a Svengali that he can charm a white woman into doing his bidding. If anybody doubts me on that, I want them to come by. I want them to meet men that I can point them out to, women that I can point them out to, some of them as young as 40 that think that way. I hate it about my South that those people are here, but they are, and they vote, and the Republicans count them as their own.
That's their base.
Thank you.
Can you hold over? I want to continue this conversation, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, stand by. We got to do the news. We'll be back. This is Head On.
For the self-employed.
Call now and learn how you can gain access to competitive health insurance. 800-426-0768. 800-426-0768.
The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed.
Call now and learn how you can gain access to competitive health insurance. 800-426-0768. 800-426-0768. Call 800-426-0768.
This is the Quality News Network. Today is the last full day of campaigning before tomorrow's midterm elections. Thousands of volunteers across the country are involved in last-minute efforts to get out the vote. On Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear its first important abortion case in 6 years. The case involves a so-called partial birth abortion ban ruled unconstitutional by 3 federal appeals courts because it doesn't provide an emergency health exemption for mothers. In Iraq, 2 U.S. soldiers were killed today in a helicopter crash north of Baghdad. That brings the November death toll of American military fatalities to 18. Yesterday, 2 Marines and 1 soldier died in fighting in Anbar province. In an unprecedented mood, an editorial appearing today in all 4 military newspapers published by the Military Times says it's time for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to go. The military papers cite a failed strategy in Iraq and compromised ability to lead. In Chile, 4 computer hackers have been arrested and charged with hacking 8,000 websites, including that of NASA. International law enforcement calls them the most successful hackers of all time. In Nicaragua, former leader Daniel Ortega appears headed for victory as president. Ortega ruled Nicaragua in the 80s before being forced from power by U.S.-backed rebels. With most of the precincts counted, he has won 40% of the vote. In the Gaza, Palestinian authorities from both Fatah and Hamas movements say they may announce today creation of a unified government. In Spain, a prosecutor today asked that 29 people charged in Madrid's train bombings be sentenced to a total of 270,000 years in prison. 191 people were killed in that attack. In Southern California, firefighters say a wildfire threatening 100 homes is 30% contained. Efforts to stop the San Bernardino County blaze are hampered by high winds. In Colorado, disgraced evangelical leader Ted Haggard is asking forgiveness after admitting he has had a 3-year relationship with a male prostitute. Haggard has been a vocal and powerful opponent of same-sex marriage. A new national survey shows 17,000 American school children went to hospital emergency rooms last year, the result of school bus accidents. That's doubled the number in previous estimates. Some advocacy groups argue those numbers would be reduced if school buses were equipped with seatbelts. QNN will provide special election coverage tomorrow at the top of the hour, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 215 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
Chinese scientists say they've identified a gene in the bird flu virus which could open the way for new vaccines. Researchers are plotting the first test of a gene therapy for HIV. A far more extensive test of the treatment has been approved. One of the advantages of the new therapy is that it can be used once to fight infection. Most medications must be taken several times a day. Former Philippines First Lady Imelda Marcos plans to launch a fashion and jewelry collection later this month. Marcos is well known for her extensive shoe collection. Abbott Laboratories says it will buy Coast Pharmaceuticals for $3.7 billion. Abbott says the acquisition will enhance its presence in the market for cholesterol treatments. Northwest Airlines, now working to emerge from bankruptcy, says it will rehire 425 laid-off pilots next year. About 150 of them will be rehired during the first half of 2007. The Four Seasons hotel chain may be taken private if a deal goes through, including Microsoft's Bill Gates, a Saudi prince, and the upscale hotel CEO. Reports say the deal is valued at $3.7 billion. Light sweet crude is trading for $60.10 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange at the close of Wall Street. The Dow Jones was up 120 points at 12,105. NASDAQ up 35 at 2365. S&P 500 up 15 at 1379. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's do another hour. What do you say? Good. I'm glad you agree. We were chatting before the news break with our good friend David in Tennessee, and I wanted to continue that for just a little bit. David, are you still there?
Oh, of course.
Good. And what I wanted to get after was the fact that there's what I said earlier. There's nothing new in these tactics that you're seeing played out in places like Missouri and Tennessee and Virginia. And in fact, all over the country. Vote, especially in the South, vote suppression is as old as voting itself. And what we're finding out is that it's alive and well in the Republican Party.
Of course it is, because if the voting base, younger, more aware, becomes part of what's going on, they're going to see through some of this stuff, and they're going to step away from it, and they're going to vote in a different way. Whoa! Did that crackle come out on your end?
A little bit.
Ooh, I wonder where that's coming from. Could be this phone of mine. Anyway, of course they want to suppress it because they know that the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, sip the cup is offered by Falwell et al., those guys will turn out no matter what. They don't care if it's raining.
No, they'll stand in the rain. They'll stand in the snow.
They will walk through broken glass to vote for Jesus George Bush.
But the other thing involved with that, David, is the fact that these are largely white people. Okay, so they're not going to stand in the rain. They're not going to stand in the snow. They're not going to have any trouble voting. There will be more voting machines in their precinct than they need.
Proven in Cleveland, Ohio. Thousands of black people. The ratio was three times greater person to voting machine in disadvantaged areas of Cleveland than in, say, affluent parts of Columbus, affluent parts of Dayton. Your average weight in the state of Ohio was, I don't know, 12 to 14 minutes if you lived in a nice neighborhood in the state of Ohio. There were people in disadvantaged areas of Cleveland in 2004 that stood in a rain for 4 to 6 hours before they felt like they either had to give it up because they were fatigued or they had to go to work.
Exactly. And, of course, you know, it's also worth remembering that at liberal colleges like Oberlin, well, you know, there were still kids standing in the rain in 2004 at 11 o'clock at night. Meanwhile, at little Jesus colleges, bang, right through there.
Oh.
Get in, get out, get voted, get done.
Record that vote. Who knows how many times they recorded that vote. But that's the Diebold way, Bob. That's the Republican way. The man that controlled the Diebold Corporation promised George Bush he would deliver an election, and he did.
Yeah, he did. And, of course, you know, we go back a little bit south, David, and when I said that there's nothing new in this, you know, the creation of that perception that, you know, our white women just ain't safe, you know, that's straight out of To Kill a Mockingbird. You remember when Bob Ewell's on the stand in To Kill a Mockingbird and said, and I come around the corner and there he was, a-rutting on my mailer.
Actually, Bob, it has changed a bit, if I may offer this. In decades way, way past, there was the fear of rape. There was the fear of simple overpowering of a white woman by a black male. That gave way to jokes about male physical superiority that might, among women that were tawdry anyway, you know, they might prefer that. Well, now we've evolved into it, and I've heard it said, Bob, and I've heard it said too many times. You look around and there's this old boy and he says something along the lines of, how come they ain't wanting to listen to Brad Paisley and they're tuning in this Kanye West? How come they ain't listening to Brad Paisley and they're listening to Kanye West?
Oh, God.
You're full of a seduction, Bob. It's twisted. It's morphed. It's evolved. It's modernized.
And yet, in some ways, it's not modern.
It's
the same old code.
It's the same evil, ugly process. They're not us, therefore I will not understand them because I choose not to even acknowledge their humanity.
God. And I mean, and we've got, you know, let's be fair, David. We got a nice little veneer over all of that stuff, but it still simmers under the surface.
Hold on. When you say veneer, you're talking about you and I. You're talking about us and all of us as Southerners, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's a nice little veneer over that says, those days are gone. And I've got a soundbite of Tony Snow saying racism is a thing of the past. Well, it's not.
No, it's not. It's smaller. It's less prevalent. It's further away from the surface. But it's there. You don't do away with that in two generations. Since Brown versus Board of Education, there's two generations that have come and gone, as I understand the generational time span. They're not going to take those feelings away that I so vividly remember when Brown versus Board of Education became a fact of life. I was in grade school. I know what kids said. I know what parents said. I know what grandparents said. You're 20 years younger than I think, and you know where it was when you came along 20 years later.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to get rid of that in 2, 3, 4. It may take 5 generations for that to be so far away that we never have to worry about it.
There's a lot of truth in that. David, thank you so kindly. I hear your phone beeping. I have a feeling we're about to lose you.
No, everything's fine here, but I do want to remind everybody that if the worldwide agencies that monitor the elections that we so badly want the rest of the world to have came to America, over 30% of American elected process would not pass the worldwide test for fairness and objectivity and honesty. So we've got a ways to go, and Diebold is a step backwards in the worst possible way. But I will happily let another caller hold forth because, you know, you've got a worldwide audience, and they deserve a chance to speak.
Thanks, David.
See you, Bob.
Later. All right, let's see. Coming up on about 14 minutes after the hour, let's take a break. Your phone calls, of course, are more than welcome. Have you gotten any of these sleazy phone calls from the Republican Party? Have you heard any of this stuff? Is it going on where you live? Share it. You know, that's you know, the way you wipe out the vampiric proclivities of the Republican Party is to shine sunlight on them. Let's let the sun shine in. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
One plus one is two. Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze. Always talk quietly in the library.
If you're gonna be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
I'm trying to be less polite. I'm saying what I really think. The president's a fool. I don't want to get up early and I wish I had a good stiff drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade a spade. I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave.
19 minutes after the hour. I don't know about you, but I've got a profound sense of anticipation, and a little bit of excitement about tomorrow. The opportunity that presents itself to us is profound. Now the question is, do we have enough guts, if you will, to seize the opportunity that is presented? Greg Palast, a friend of the program, who's been on here with us from time to time, Greg addressed some of this in a recent column. It just came out today. And it's what he says is that 4.5 million votes have already been stolen. Right now, they've been stolen. And he says that registrations have been disappeared, noting that on January 1st, 2006, while America slept off New Year's Eve hangovers, a new federal law crept out of the swamps that has devoured 1.9 million votes, mostly those votes belonging to African Americans and Hispanics. And then there's the ID game, with what Palast refers to as a legion of pimple-faced Republicans with Blackberries loaded with lists of new voters assigned to challenge citizens in heavily African-American and Hispanic, you know, Democratic precincts to demand photo IDs that perfectly match registration data. God, what would you do? What would you do if you caught some Republican pulling that where you voted? I hate to say this because, you know, I'm all Mr. Peace and Love and everything, but I think they would have to pull me off that Republican. At the very least, I could stand there and scream at them and keep them from harassing other voters. But Lord God, to catch a Republican trying to keep me from voting? Of course, you know, I'm just a shade darker than the cover of the Edgar Winter Group album, okay? I mean, I get a sunburn under the refrigerator light bulb. It ain't gonna happen to me. I'm the wrong color. Republicans are more than happy to have me vote because they think they've got a shot with me. God help somebody if they demand ID from me tomorrow. I'm going in, and that's enough, you know, I want to see what's going on in the polling place. I want to know. You know, I don't think anything will happen here. Because, and frankly, I don't expect much to happen inside this county. But there is, by the way, you guys made a difference who chose to help Mike Callahan. It's late in the game, but the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, finally upgraded Mike's campaign to their top tier of campaigns in the United States because, you know, after all, he's running against Tom DeLay's best girl, who has castigated Mike for things that he did when he was a federal prosecutor, claiming that he didn't do enough to keep political corruption down in Logan and Lincoln counties. Now, this is coming from... I know. This is West Virginia history, and it's kind of inside baseball, but bear with me. Shelley Moore Capito, is the daughter of Arch Moore. Arch Moore was the governor of West Virginia. And if you look up political corruption in the West Virginia dictionary, there's a picture of Arch standing there. Arch Moore just took money in big bags from coal companies, and he extorted money. You want good government, it costs money. Yeah, here's the brown paper bag, Governor Moore. And Arch's daughter is the one who holds the congressional seat right now and has raked in money with both fists from Tom DeLay's war chest and the Native American tribes that he abused and ripped off . And so that race has gotten within 2 or 3 points right now. And so, you know, there will be places, I'm sure, in West Virginia where the shenanigans will take place. Of course, you know, we're up to our eyeballs already in filthy advertisements and funding from the creepy CEO of Massey Energy, Don Blankenship. He has spent something on the order of well over a couple of million bucks trying to back his little Republican candidates for the sake of the kids. Now, never mind the fact that his little "and for the sake of the kids" charity has never done a damn thing for a kid, except trying to advance the causes of things like blowing up mountains, you know, because they're in the way of what Don perceives to be his coal. So yeah, you know, after tomorrow, the stinking political ads end for a while. And I don't know, between now and say the November the 2008 election cycle, you know what would be nice to see? I would like to see a grassroots movement get started that demands that politicians take the money they would spend on political advertising and they put it into, oh, how about Katrina recovery? There was a story on public radio this evening about the fact that they're already beginning to call the Mississippi Gulf Coast Vegasippi, because now that everybody's been dispossessed and run off their land after Katrina, the casino operators plan to come in and turn the Mississippi Gulf Coast into a straight-up contender for number one gambling hotspot, as opposed to Las Vegas. Oh, yeah, Katrina was good for the Republican Party. It was very good for the Republican Party. You've got to understand that. Because, you know, people whose houses were in the way of a casino, it's not in the way anymore. And bear in mind, you know, we've heard a lot from Sarge and from people that Sarge has put us in touch with about what it is like there right now. You know, not immediately after the storm, right now, how it's still broken down, how it's still busted, how the needs are so profound. You know what? No Democratic Congress. This will be the only place you hear about that, and a few others. You get a Democratic Congress, maybe you start getting some investigation. Maybe you start getting some oversight. Maybe, just maybe, we start sending some money to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi instead of just pouring it down the rat hole that is Iraq. Maybe, just maybe, we do what America ought to be doing, and that is taking care of Americans. By the way, did you see the listing that came out, speaking of Iraq? What is the single most corrupt country on the face of this sweet little blue-green time machine marble that is hurtling through the universe? What country is the most corrupt? That's right, Iraq. Now, Iraq wasn't always the most corrupt country on Earth. It only became the most corrupt country on Earth after the most corrupt political family got its filthy mitts on it. You know, the Bushes. And, of course, the least corrupt country on Earth? Finland. We're number 22 on the list of most corrupt countries on Earth. Why are we the most corrupt, the number 22 most corrupt country on Earth? Have a look at this election. Have a look at the active attempts at disenfranchisement by the Republican Party. Have a look at holier-than-thou preachers who go out and get whacked out of their mind on meth and pay prostitutes. Yeah. There's some corruption. Yes, Agnes.
How much was in that tithe plate? How many times did it pass around before he got his meth and his hooker?
I don't know.
That was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're bad.
Remember that when you vote tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, and of course, it's not, you know, the other side say, Jesus Christ, if the Democrats take charge, Nancy Pelosi is going to turn America into a communist wonderland. Lord God. And it's the Senate, Ted Kennedy, Massachusetts liberal Ted Kennedy, he'll make your children burn their Bibles. He will. It doesn't change. And I come around the corner and there he was, a rutting on my mailer. The Republican Party is secretly run by Bob Ewell from To Kill a Mockingbird. Dear God. So we'll take a break. Chime in if you want to. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or email in to Bob at headonradio.com. It was our good friend Billy Shears who sent along the information that Greg Palast put out. The fact that, among other things, 3 million ballots are cast in national elections but not counted. Whose votes won't they count tomorrow? We've got to account for those. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. and that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
No, this is not the... We have not been preempted by the Dr. Laura Schlesinger program. She may have double pneumonia, but she can still boogie.
Thank you, Peter.
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. 25 minutes before the hour. Something I wanted to share with you. Well, stepping away from the elections. My takes on them. We have an email here from our good friend Robert in Japan. He says, just a word about the election. I would caution that your listeners would take the time to really study the list of judges that are up in their area. It took me a good 30 minutes to get enough data about who was who and what they had done. Keeping a bad judge in is just as bad or worse than keeping a bad politician in. Also, in some states, there are constitutional amendments like Florida, one of which, he says, I actually had to read twice or three times to figure out what it meant and what the implications were. So, to make it easy, study ahead. Just a little advice. And he says, by the way, my election supervisor in Wakulla County, Florida, God, I hope I'm saying that right, he says, below Tallahassee, refused to send me a paper ballot in the primary and said she had sent it by email, weird, and then wanted me to fax the results back. I chewed her out about this and luckily did get my paper ballot for this election. But it just goes to show you the stuff you have to go through to vote nowadays. Thanks, Robert. Thank you very kindly. And you do have to be careful, and especially in states with referendum and recall, where you got proposition that and proposition the other thing, it can get especially daunting. But I take it that in California, a yes vote for Proposition 87, at least based on the ads we've been running, where Al Gore was advocating in that regard, would be a real step forward. And no sooner did just a couple of hit and miss kind of things. No sooner did John Kerry make his verbal blunder telling the joke last week. Our good buddy Billy Shears points out, then a banner shows up in Iraq. It's almost as if somebody from the right-wing media had a friend in the Minnesota National Guard who contacted the troops at Talil Air Base in Iraq. Sure sounds like that's what happened. What it is it's a banner that says, this is real smart. Help us, John Kerry. That's H-A-L-P, John J-O-N, Kerry, C-A-R-R-Y. We are stuck, that's with a reversed K, here, H-E-A-R-N, letter N, Iraq, I-R-A-K, thanks to George Bush. Jeez. Yeah, very funny, guys. Very funny indeed. The condemned ate heartily, so I've heard. And a little list here for you. 28 true things to remember tomorrow as you go to the polling place. One, this is a list by Beth Quinn. One, Republicans vote. Two, Democrats often don't. Three, so they lose elections. Four, torture is bad. Five, the Constitution is good. Six, the mission, whatever it was, has not been accomplished. Seven, Republicans vote. Eight, Congress has been in a coma. Nine, women should vote tomorrow. 10, if your neighbor doesn't drive, give him a lift. 11, if he's a Democrat. 12, spying on Americans is bad. 13, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. 14, Republicans vote! 15, pedophiles should not be protected. 16, the caskets hold dead soldiers. 17, New Orleans was not a heck of a job. 18, nuclear is pronounced nuclear. 19, Republicans vote! 20, staying the course when the course is wrong is wrong. 21, we are no safer today than on September 11th, 2001. 22, gay people should vote tomorrow. 23, so should Michael J. Fox. 24, global warming is real. 25, everybody now, Republicans vote. 26, there are 806 more days till January 20th, 2009. 27, that's far too many days to leave a crazed toddler unsupervised. 28, Democrats should vote tomorrow. I'll add a 29th. Republicans vote! See, that's the reason for all the voter suppression. They will come out. It was noted in a conversation earlier. They will. The Republicans will come out hell or high water, literally. And they will vote. And you know what they'll vote? They will vote a straight Republican ticket. Now, at any time, you don't have to work very hard to hear this. Anytime a repig opens his filthy mouth to talk about the political problem, well, you know, the problem with the system is all of these straight-ticket Democrat voters. They don't vote for the man. They vote for the party. They don't care what kind of person it is, as long as he's got that D behind his name. They vote that straight ticket. That's the problem with politics. I have heard it so many times that I can do it off the cuff like that. For a very good reason. It's just seared in it because I've heard these stinking liars. And they talk that crap. But the truth of the matter is, if there is a problem with anyone in this country voting straight tickets, it is the Republican Party. Because it does not matter what. It does not matter what the issue is or the candidate is. If that person is a Republican, those Republicans will tell their other little Republican friends, and pretty soon it's like having termites. They're just all over the place. And they will not cross party lines to vote for a Democrat. So again, you know, even that little low-grade bit of horse hockey is aimed at voter suppression. To make a, you know what? Look, you want to know why I vote a straight Democratic ticket? Because I have yet to meet a Republican who shares my values. I mean, it's that simple. There aren't any out there. Is there one single Republican in the Congress of the United States that shares your values? Once in a while, I find myself in agreement with Ron Paul from Texas, but that doesn't last very long. Because sooner or later, being the libertarian heart that he is, he's, oh, well, you know, there's a problem with Social Security. Social Security's bad, blah, 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 blah. Libertarianism is mostly a bunch of crap. But no, I mean, just look around. Is there a Republican anywhere that shares your values? Does Kurt Weldon in Pennsylvania, does he share your values? How about John Boehner? How about Denny Hastert? Do they share your values? Does Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who will be, if they retain control of the Senate, that son of a bitch will be the majority leader of the Senate. Does Mitch McConnell share any of your values? Now, Mitch McConnell comes home in the evening and looks at his wife, Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, and he says, "Hey, honey, how many workers did you screw today?" And she says, "Oh, about 2,000. How about you?" "Oh, I screwed the whole nation. I'm a Republican." The Southerners in the audience, does Jeff Sessions or Saxby Chambliss or Lindsey Graham or Elizabeth Dole or John Cornyn or K. Bailey Hutchison or Jeff Sessions or Jim Demented or Dement or George Allen or John Warner or Lamar Alexander or Bill Frist? Do any of those freaks share your values? Hell no. I'm answering for me, not for you. I believe that people, among other things, I know I'm using that word believe, and I know I hate it. But if people make choices about their own lives, they should be able to manifest those choices. And they should have loving family members who can execute those choices on their behalf and not have to worry about some stupid, half-inbred, the more dollars than cents, the Republican senator from Tennessee coming, I've seen a videotape of the lady, and it's apparent that she is, well, by God, the videotape I saw, she was a-sitting up playing ping pong. Families in America have got to be able to maintain their own families and their own values without the intrusion of a bunch of, the busybodies who don't know how to mind their own damn business. You know, there's an article here in which Gore Vidal says that tomorrow is the most important vote in his lifetime, and he's an old guy. He says, should this gang of thugs continue in the two houses of Congress, there isn't any chance of getting the Constitution back. Well, that's pretty stark, isn't it? This is the most important vote that you'll probably ever cast, he says, because should this gang of thugs continue in the two houses of Congress, there isn't any chance of getting the Constitution back. Gore Vidal says, this is the last chance, really. By getting some new chairpersons to head committees in the House, to have a clean sweep, which in normal times, if we'd ever enjoyed them, would have happened by now. Now it has got to happen. Or welcome to the Third Reich. Gore Vidal is no dummy. Gore Vidal has historical perspective that you and I haven't even considered. He says, among other things, we're facing the most important election in my lifetime, which does not quite extend back to that of Abraham Lincoln, but it's pretty close. There will be nothing more important in the voting line that one can foresee that will come our way while any of us is still hobbling around. This will determine whether we regain the republic which we have lost over the last 5 years. The coup d'etat was so rapid that even I, who am ready for such things, I thought, these people are going to make a grab for it. But I thought, my heavens, there's still the courts. Even a shameless Supreme Court is not going to back up the loss of habeas corpus. So, my fellow countrymen, as I sit here, not yet at Gettysburg, I have a notion that this is the most important vote that you'll probably ever cast, because should this gang of thugs continue in the two houses of Congress, there isn't any chance of getting the Constitution back. Do you remember how you ached, how we all ached? Some of us even wept when we saw what this compliant Republican rubber stamp Congress had done to the Constitution of the United States, all in the guise of something they passed off to us as a phony level of safety or security. Jeez. The stakes are extremely high. An email from our friend Angie from over at pbsblog.com. pbsblog.com. She recommends, and I've seen it before, and if you haven't, you should, riverbendblog.blogspot.com. It's a blog called Baghdad Burning, Angie writes. In particular, the two most recent entries are enough to validate what we have always known as the truth, and worse. Angie says, since the invasion of Iraq, I haven't slept well. Not a day goes by that I don't feel the unbearable weight of sorrow over the loss of so many innocent lives. The hundreds of thousands of untold stories of suffering, loss, and terror are seen in my heart and in my sleep. How could they ever forgive us for this? It is unforgivable. The losses are profoundly beyond physical or financial reparations, even if they were ever made. Now the estimates are over 500,000 innocent dead civilians. We know the official numbers of American dead are patently untrue. Many thousands more have died than what is officially reported, and thousands upon thousands have been disabled and disfigured for life. This brutal carnage is cloaked in a film of dirty lies that try to hide the stench of truth. Overt censorship of the media, manufactured fake news to glorify and justify themselves, all lies. The torture president is at the helm. God help us all. In the morning, as I wait for my coffee, the house is quiet and my mind is in the haze between sleeping and waking up. Suddenly tears roll down my cheeks, and soon I am sobbing. The grief, rage, and frustration is always there, just under the surface. The outer layer of required composure is as thin as a coat of paint, and just as fake. It only takes a scratch to unleash the fury and resentment building up over the lies they tell us, and to feel the grief of our terrible responsibility for the death and destruction being done in our name. It's becoming all too common to have my morning cries. They're coming out at all hours of the day now. She asks, am I alone in this? Does anyone else weep for the innocent dead too? Does anyone else literally shake with anger over the actions of this fraudulent Bush regime? It is a terrible weight inside me. My fear is that because others don't carry this weight, these things are allowed to continue. I fear for the soul of my country. I think it's been lost. There cannot be anything in this world that costs hundreds of thousands of innocent lives. Nothing bearing such a price tag is worth having. What is wrong with those who call themselves leaders? What object of their desire is so great that the carnage is irrelevant? What on earth are they claiming to defend if human life does not concern them? If not to defend innocent lives, then what are they defending? What are we paying for and dying for? How much more obvious do the facts have to be before my country accepts what it can see over what they are told by the liars who use them for twisted purposes that have nothing to do with American values and ethics and dreams? I am heartsick. And she closes, I know you are too. And I am. This is the America that we're handing kids who are just now being born. This is, you know, my son is 10. Consider that as a fifth grader now, his country has been at war since second grade. And it looks like his country will be at war throughout his public education if the Bush people get their way. Does it boggle your mind a little bit when you think of a baby born in 2003? You know, here, safe in America. That baby has never known a day when her country wasn't at war. And the fact that she's not comprehending it yet doesn't mean that it's not going to have a profound impact on the way that she grows up. Her country is at war, so school funding goes by the boards. Her country is at war, so roads don't get rebuilt. Her country is at war, so if she's poor, she has less to eat in the food stamp account. Her country is at war, so there's less money to help her mommy and daddy be able to take care of her. Her country is at war, so there's less money for children's health insurance programs. Ponder that one for a minute. Now, as liberals, we're very, very proud of the fact that there is a children's health insurance program that will provide medical care for children of the poor, working poor, unworking poor, whatever you want to call it. Glad families are to be able to have that. But consider, just for a moment, please, consider that when that child turns 18. The United States says, well, we got you to 18, screw you, kid. You're on your own now. You're going out into the working world where it's really dangerous. And if you can't get health insurance and you can't afford health insurance and you get hurt, that's too damn bad. Does that just make the room sort of fly by you and reality get a little loose behind your eye sockets? You know, there's another reason for tomorrow. I can't stand any. I can't stand any more compassion from the Republican Party. Compassion is killing us. At least their brand is. Lord God, Billy Bob. Does it astonish you that? When you think about the amount of money that has been spent in Iraq and misspent, and then you see the news story from last week, where is it? I got it right here. There it is. Congress tells auditor in Iraq to close offices. Boy, there's a responsible Congress that needs to keep power. That's right. The one little lone bookkeeper with a pair of pince-nez glasses hanging on a little silver chain around his neck, who was trying to do some fundamental follow the money work in Iraq. Hey, he's gone. Investigations led by a Republican lawyer named Stuart W. Bowen Jr. in Iraq have sent American occupation officials to jail on bribery and conspiracy charges, exposed disastrously poor construction work by well-connected companies like Halliburton and Parsons, and discovered that the military did not properly track hundreds of thousands of weapons it shipped to Iraqi security forces that are now being used to kill our own soldiers. And tucked away, boy, you can almost hear the echo, can't you? Tucked away in a huge military authorization bill that President Bush signed 2 weeks ago, is Mr. Bowen's reward for embarrassing the administration. A pink slip. Don't. And what did Dick Cheney say yesterday? On one of the talk shows? He said if he is subpoenaed by a Democratic, if he is subpoenaed by the Congress of the United States, oh glory, he said he won't show. Is that reason enough? Is that reason enough? To end the compliant Republican Congress? Because they, you know, Dick Cheney doesn't have to worry about answering any subpoenas from a Republican Congress because they are damn sure not ever going to issue one. I'd like to see that little showdown, however. I'd like to see Dick Cheney ignore a congressional subpoena. Because I would like to see Dick Cheney dragged by his evil old bald head in front of the Congress and made to sit there and answer questions actually under oath. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? It's time for the news. This is the Head On Radio Network. You know how to get in touch with the program. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Email to bob@headonradio.com. We'll be back after the news. I'm Bob.
Appears to be crucial in tomorrow's election. 61% of Americans disagree with the GOP. Following the elections on Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear its first important abortion case in 6 years. The case involves the so-called partial birth abortion ban, ruled unconstitutional by three federal appeals courts because it doesn't provide an emergency health exemption for mothers. In Iraq, two U.S. soldiers were killed today in a helicopter crash north of Baghdad. That brings the November death toll of American military to 18. Yesterday, two Marines and one soldier died fighting in the Anbar province. In an unprecedented move, an editorial appearing today in all four military newspapers published by the Military Times says it's time for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to go. The military papers cite a failed strategy in Iraq and compromised ability to lead. In Chile, four computer hackers have been arrested and charged with hacking 8,000 websites, including that of NASA. International law enforcement calls them the most successful hackers of all time. In Nicaragua, former leader Daniel Ortega appears headed for victory as president. Ortega ruled Nicaragua in the 80s before being forced from power by U.S.-backed rebels. With most of the precincts counted, he's won 40% of the vote. In Southern California, there were record-breaking temperatures today. 95 degrees combined with Santa Ana winds is making it difficult to bring a wildfire under control. More than 100 homes are being threatened. And in western Washington, the state is bracing for flooding today. Heavy rains and winds have prompted evacuation of homes and hundreds of recreational hunters. A new national survey shows 17,000 American schoolchildren went to hospital emergency rooms last year, the result of school bus accidents. Advocacy groups argue those numbers would be reduced if school buses had seatbelts. QNN will provide special election coverage at the top of the hour tomorrow, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
University of Utah researchers endorse a new product that gets rid of head lice in half an hour by the use of a device that works like a blow dryer. It's called the Louse Buster. OPEC's president says he'll consider additional production cuts in oil output if the world continues to report an oversupply. In October, OPEC approved a decrease in oil supplies of 1.2 million barrels per day. Former Fed Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan says he expects the U.S. housing market to continue to weaken. However, he says the sharpest decline is over. XM Satellite Radio has posted a smaller quarterly loss than expected, $83.8 million. Walmart is cutting prices for many of its electronics products, including flat-screen TVs, digital cameras, and cell phones. The price cuts are effective through December. The Justice Department is investigating the private equity arm of Merrill Lynch. The probe is part of the federal government's continued look into anti-competitive behavior within that business sector. Light sweet crude is trading for $60.14 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 120 points at 12,105. The Nasdaq up 35 at 2365. The S&P 500 up 15 at 1379. And gold ended trading at $624.90 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Where? Right here. About 6 minutes after the hour. You guys are quiet tonight. That's okay. It's not like there's nothing to rant about. I'm just, you know, I don't know. The whole prospect of the election tomorrow just has me vibrating. And just to repeat the schedule so you'll know. And a reminder, our good friend Bruce Birch, who went in for a retooling, rejoins us tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be right here. And, of course, he'll be with us tomorrow night as well. And, I like to do things on the fly. It's the impromptu qualities of what we do here that I think make it especially exciting. You know, things like letting you guys bring the topic instead of insisting that you be on the topic that the host, the almighty host, is talking about. What a bunch of... That's why I loathe right-wing radio. Oh, you have to talk about what he wants to talk about. Yeah, it's just rude, isn't it? Let's talk about what needs talking about. So, tomorrow, especially in the evening with the election coverage, who knows what may happen. But we will be on the air live until midnight, at least, Eastern Time. Which should be enough time for the polls to have closed, at least in California, in the Pacific time zone. Because that's 12 p.m., 12 midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, but pretty much. Sorry. No, so be here tomorrow. You never know what might happen. Or who might ring in or jingle in or you just don't know. Right now, however, I want to go to the phones. And a reminder, so you'll know, if you call in and you are suddenly find yourself on hold, that's because I'm personing the operation solo. Agnes, well, I took her prescriptions down to be filled at the local corporate pharmacy. And, of course, you know, it would kill them to hire adequate staff. And, you know, they'd rather just hire not enough people and try to work them to death. So they said, you know, come back in an hour. I went back in an hour. They said, oh, it'll be another hour at least. And so that pushed us into the show. And Agnes really needs to get on the meds because she's kind of sick. She's not kind of sick. She's really sick. You know, double pneumonia will take you down. You know, she in a way, she's like that one night in the Monty Python movie, you know, gets a leg lopped off. Ah, it's only a flesh wound. Bless her heart. So she's gone off to the pharmacy and will be back presently. So if you call in, I'll see the line blinking. I'll push it. You'll go on hold, and then I'll find out just who it is that's calling. Okay? All right, let's talk to Luke in Knoxville. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, Bob, you know, she's just kind of a whiner. At least it wasn't triple pneumonia. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah.
No, she does. They're awful.
God, if she heard you say that, she would reach through the phone and rip your throat out, Luke.
I know she would. I'm sorry. I do it the way I do. I call them in like 2 days before I actually need them.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. We had the paper scripts. You can't call them in. You got to carry them in.
Understand. All right, let's get into the fun stuff.
All right, sure thing.
Talk about Agnes going on her meds. Now, I watched the Meet the Press yesterday. Who dosed Elizabeth Dole?
Oh, yeah. You mean that sort of doe in the headlights look she had going for her?
Man, I was like, she must have been taking a handful of Ritalin. The only thing I can figure. You know? She must have got the wrong bottle or something. It's like, it's like, dear Lord, a couple of hundred gallons of coffee wouldn't have got you that wired.
No, she was. No,
I thought they were going to come out with a gun, with a drink gun. Get her.
No, I don't know. For all I know, she was getting a little of Pastor Ted's recipe.
Well, the thing of it was, the other three were sitting there at the table. They were like, she won't let any of us talk. She apparently decided this was a filibuster. As long as she doesn't quit talking, no one else can talk. I mean, but oh God. Oh, I bet you 10-1. I'm sitting here. I've got the sound off watching Oberman. I bet I can bet who the worst person in the world is tonight.
Okay, place your bets.
You saw who may be getting investigated.
Help me out here.
Mr. O'Reilly.
Oh yeah. I did see that story.
Mr. O'Reilly opened his mouth a little too wide this time. But he knows something he's not supposed to know. And apparently, the judge who for the people who don't know, this is about the abortion case, I believe, in South Dakota or North Dakota.
South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay. Where the judge released like 90 records to the district attorney, but like the district attorney was under all these orders, you know, you do not share this with anybody. This is for you, you know, your eyes only. And apparently if something's happened, Bill and maybe the district attorney up there may be spending time in the Crossbar Hotel.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The judge is probably kind of PO'd.
Well, that's like, I mean, it's a separate issue and everything, Luke, but the judge who issued the injunction against the New Mexico Republican Party for calling Hispanic voters and telling them that, well, you know, your polling place has been changed.
Yeah.
They found that judge at a basketball game. You know, I'd like to know what the outcome of the hearing was today, because that was just...
Oh, God. Well, I tell you, the other things, they're so much fun. They were sitting here running across them. It's like, instead of where Waldo, it's where's Mr. Chris in Florida?
Oh, not campaigning with George, that's where. Not in Pensacola. Not within five counties of Georgia.
I wonder if they put out an Amber Alert for him, is my question.
Well, you know, I just wonder if he'll deny George three times before the rooster crows.
Yeah, oh, God, it's like... Well, they said he was 600 miles away. It's like, yeah, he's still driving as fast as he can the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
That water,
you know,
ain't going to stop him.
Where'd you say you're going to be? Pensacola? Oh, damn. I've got a campaign appearance in the Dry Tortugas at Fort Jefferson that day.
I'll be somewhere on a bridge going into Key West, somewhere in there. You know how?
Yeah.
But, no, that's just, it's like, come on, let George appear some other place. I like to see some other people run. This could be fun. You know, this could be the new reality show.
Yeah, you know, well, that's
a great race.
Yeah. No, I mean, Mr. Christ, I mean, let's see,
Mr. Christ got caught lying a few times.
Yeah, I did not have sex with that man, and I did not have politics with that other man, George Bush.
Well, maybe I get him confused. This could be interesting.
Well, you know, this, you know, if they lose that, considering who the sitting governor is and everything, if they lose that governor's seat, uh-huh, that's going to say a lot about the decline of the Bush family's power and influence, isn't it?
Oh, well, I mean, that kneecaps Jeb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Jeb's going to have to start from scratch and start building his power base back, because there's a lot of people who are going to walk away from Jeb, because if Jeb couldn't pass it on to his successor, Jeb's not going to look at having that good a coattail.
Well, and that, you know, Jeb and George and the whole dirty lot of them are at a point where they have galloping political anemia.
I guess they're
still pretty good at fundraising and that kind of thing, but you know, who wants to be seen with them?
I know it's fun now, just waiting to see who turns on them next. This is kind of a fun little game. But, the story I saw today that really caught my eye, of course, was this robocall.
Yeah, well, which one? The robocalls in Pennsylvania or the...
Well, the one was in Philadelphia, I think I sent you the thing, where,
yeah,
where apparently it's Republicans calling, pretending to be Democrats.
Right, and trying
now
to...
Fraud, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, it is active fraud. It's illegal as hell.
Trying to influence an election, it's like, say, I think they, you know, because they track... What I understand, we're reading it, and I've read two or three different stories, that they've tracked this back to somebody. I want to think it was in Kansas.
The one story I saw was talking about the robocalls in Virginia were coming from California, but
okay. But they were tracking. They were tracking one group back, and it was to some some big Republican donor. You know what I mean? It was.
And they don't learn, Luke. They don't learn. I mean, there are people who have gone to prison for the 2004 phone jamming scandal in New Hampshire.
Yeah, he's the one. He's gone to jail, and apparently everybody in the Republican Party has of course, deleted him from their Rolodex.
Yeah, who's that?
Never heard of him. No.
Yeah,
I don't care what those pictures show.
Yeah, and Ted Haggard has never been within a country mile of George Bush.
Oh God, I tell you what. You saw the other thing that they've been announced talking about a little bit here and there is, amazingly enough, you know, when they issued Sodom's verdict, it wasn't even written.
Oh, well, see, I haven't even gotten to that. I'm glad you brought that up, Luke, because...
Then it's going to be Thursday?
Well, the Saddam verdict has been available for a month. A month!
Yeah. But the officially, like I say, the paperwork isn't going to be available till Thursday, which is when it should have been announced.
Or a month, yeah. I don't know. I've been fishing this through
the month before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've been fishing this through my tiny mind, and when the light went on for me, Luke, was when I read what the appeal period was through the phony Iraqi appellate court. Mm-hmm. It's supposedly a 30-day appeal, and if the appeal is upheld, then they put the rope around his neck and bye-bye Saddam, or Saddam look-alike, or whoever that guy is. And so what you got to figure out is, if why would you put it off until right before the election? Because I really don't think it's going to stir. It doesn't stir anybody. Well, justice is being done. I don't think it's working that way for the Republicans. But on the other hand, think about it coming from a different direction. If that verdict had come out when it was originally available a month ago,
they'd be hanging him about now.
They'd be hanging him about now, and Iraq would absolutely, because it's going to happen, is going to absolutely erupt. I mean, the streets are going to run like rivers of blood.
Well, you saw the thing last night they were talking about, or at least the one I saw was, I think, saw on CNN. They were talking about, you know, one video, you know, the Sunnis are in one mood, the Shias are in the other mood, and Baghdad's under total lockdown. So they've got a curfew that they're keeping everybody off the street, because they know the minute they lift that curfew, the two groups are going to get together and they ain't going to be real happy with each other.
No, it's going to be ugly.
Hatfields and McCoy time.
Well, and the thing is, this just proves the utter stupidity of this strategy. If you wanted Saddam tried, Saddam needed to be sent to The Hague, where we send war criminals to be tried, like Slobodan Milosevic,
well,
et al.
Well, you know what the problem with that was? They would have said, Mr. Rumsfeld, come over here. We'd like to talk to you about a few things.
Yeah.
And George wouldn't like to say, no, he can't come over right. He can't come out and play right now. Sorry about that.
You know, do you think Rumsfeld ever sees that photo? I mean, it's all over the internet. So we as liberals, we can't turn around without somebody putting that photograph of Saddam shaking hands with Rummy. Oh. In our faces. Does Saddam ever think back to that? No, those were the good old days.
It's one of those things, just like I say, but that's why they did, more than anything else, they probably didn't go to The Hague. It's sort of like the Kissinger problem. You know, when you start looking into who did what, there's a lot of people they don't want have the light shown on them.
Well, and it might.
I mean, that's why they want to stretch his neck in 30 days, because they don't want him talking.
Well, yeah, I mean, right, and it's the same thing that happens every time you run afoul of the Bush family. Remember Manuel Noriega?
Oh, our friend Manuel, yes.
Yeah, and by the way, the ugliness is about to start up again in Nicaragua.
Oh, I saw the Ortega and all that.
Yeah, because they had a democratic election, and people went and voted on paper ballots and so forth, and they decided that they want Daniel Ortega to be president of Nicaragua.
I see a coup in the future.
Well,
of course, the CIA will know nothing about despite those black planes.
Oh no! And you know, where are you, Eugene Hasenfuss? Is that dude still alive?
Well, who cares at this point? You ought to be sort of like, well, he could be, might not be, maybe he is.
But no, the weirdo right wing Republican congressmen are already writing nasty letters to Nicaragua saying, "All right, commie's coming to power." You know that commie's coming to power because he was lawfully elected.
And I hate to tell them, they better start looking at the big map, because there's a whole lot of them in that country coming to power. I mean, the ones that they've put in, the one in Ecuador, I can't remember where it is. The one at Fire Puppet, you know.
Yeah.
That one there is terribly outnumbered, because Mr. Chavez has been playing his cards very, very.
Very well, very astutely. Although, you know, in Nicaragua, the running mate for Daniel Ortega is the guy who used to be the spokesman for the Contras. And they asked him why he was doing it, and he said, "I prefer the strange to the unknown."
Was it the enemy I know is better than the enemy I don't know?
Right, exactly.
But
there's weirdness the world over, and a lot of this stuff is imploding on these ripigs. And what I will be as excited as anybody else in this country if we manage to take one or both houses back by the end of the night tomorrow night. However, the suite always has a little bit of bitter behind it, and that is that we had better hit the ground running on Wednesday, November the 8th, because that means there's going to be a lame duck Congress that will try to do every vile and filthy thing within its power between now and the end of that session.
This is going back about a week or so. Do you remember the thing I sent you from Crooks and Liars? The shredding truck?
Oh, yeah, the one that was pulling up to Dick's house?
It's like, say, when the election goes through tomorrow night, and they start announcing who's won, I bet 10-1 you won't be able to find a shredding machine in Washington.
Oh, no, they're all going to be busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, because everybody's going, honey, that's the family photos. I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, but like I say, one other thing, and I'll let you go. Sorry about keeping you too long.
No, it's okay.
Like I say, when you tonight, before y'all go to bed, set the VCR for Mr. Oberman. The fourth story is on Dirty Tricks. I've been sitting here watching it with a mute on, so I have no clue what he's been saying. But I know he's talking about that, and also he's having a commentary tonight.
Voting. Yeah, they call them commentaries. We call them rants.
It's like I said, I still think the Democratic Party would have done just as well to buy, or I don't know how you do it, you know what I mean, get the copy or whatever it is, get his last five or six of these, rent an hour of time, and just play them.
Oh, yeah, but he's radical, see. The scared bunny wing of the Democratic Party can't even countenance the... yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
All righty. Well, you all have a good evening. Tell Agnes I hope she feels better.
All right, I sure will. You take care, Luke. You already voted?
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing. I don't know about your area, but we're going to have rain most of tomorrow.
It's supposed to rain on us, too, and there was a very trenchant comment by our friend Nanette in the chat room. She said, you know, people will go to the mall in the rain. Why won't they go vote in the rain?
Well, like I say, I did early, so like I say, we had 70,000 here in Knoxville vote early.
Wow. Any idea what the breakdown was, Republican to Democrat?
No, I haven't seen the numbers on that. So, but like I say, a lot of them decided they wanted to get out because they didn't want to wait till Tuesday. You don't try to do it all at once.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, then. You
all
have a good evening.
You take care, Luke.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our good friend Luke calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. All right, onward and upward. Let's see if I can stop banging into things. Next adventure. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Susan from Columbia.
Hey, Susan. How are you, darling?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, good.
And it is pouring rain here in Oregon, and it has been the past several days.
Well, that's what it's supposed to do there, though, isn't it?
More or less, yes. We're kind of used to it. We call it liquid sunshine.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I did, the reason I called in was the mention of O'Reilly and the medical records.
Right.
Okay, he didn't just, if he, now I'm going to be liberal and say, okay, if he in fact did this,
mm-hmm.
he didn't just break a law. He broke a federal law, honey. It's called the HIPAA statute. I used to be certified in it. And you go past now medical records when you're not supposed to. That's a bad, naughty, wrong. And the federal government will come and thump on your butt.
Well, I want to see, I'd like to see O'Reilly federally charged. And I'd like to see at least state charges, we hope, filed against Ann Coulter down there for her own vote fraud.
Oh, she committed vote fraud?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I missed.
Oh, you mean, okay. The backgrounder, she registered to vote. She knows, you know, I mean, she's got a a real live, honest to God residence down in Florida somewhere, poor Florida. And she registered to vote and turned around and used as her voter registration address her real estate agent's address, which is at another precinct, and that's the precinct she voted in instead of the one of her residency, and apparently she has committed a rather profound vote fraud felony in Florida.
That is a big-time felony.
Exactly. And, the question is, does she go to the men's or the women's prison? We don't know.
Good question.
Maybe the Adam's apple goes to one, and the blonde hair goes to the other.
Ugh, gross. I do have one other thing to mention,
mm-hmm.
if I can remember it here. God, I just went blank.
That's okay.
Oh, I wanted to ask, does Agnes need some more tea?
I'm sure she wouldn't turn it down.
Because she is in really, really deep.
Well, no, she came in the door today and looked at me and said, "Honey, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Oh, dear." Because, you know, when she needs to talk to me, what that means is I need to do some serious listening. No, and she comes in and she said, "You know how I've been feeling poorly?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "There's a reason for it." I said, "What is it?" She said, "It's double pneumonia."
Ah, cute.
Yeah, and you know... Poor thing.
Yes, definitely.
And so, you know, I don't know how we're going to get her some rest, but we're going to get that woman some rest.
We need to get her computer back up and running.
Oh, everything's hot. Everything, yeah. Going for all I'm worth.
So I won't crash the server if I send the rest of the whale song.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Everything's happy.
Oh, okay, good. With the political thing, I know what it was. Since somebody has obviously found a nice liberal judge, how about if we hit the Republicans with a restraining order saying, "Hey guys, you can't shred nothing until after the election."
Well, for starters, they just do it anyway.
Yeah, but
the laws are for us, not them, you know.
That's one more thing you could nail him with.
Well, you know, I so desperately want to see success tomorrow because even, I know I'm being unrealistic in my ambitions, but I want to see some level of investigation started of this bunch of criminal thugs. I mean, Gore Vidal called them thugs, and you know what? When Gore Vidal uses the word thugs, you know it's being used properly.
Oh, yes. If there anybody knows how to use the English language, it's Gore Vidal. And as far as I'm concerned, if the first print run of subpoenas is around 20,000, that would suit me just about right.
Yeah, I'd like to keep them. Let's be honest. I want to find out what's been going on for the last 6 years, but I also want to keep these SOBs so busy that they don't have time to start a war with, oh, let's say, Iran.
Exactly. And if they are busily trying to dodge grand juries, they aren't going to be, not to mention, they aren't going to be able to pass any fun and games laws during their lame duck term. And that's another good thing we could manage.
The lame duck Congress, or the idea of one, just scares me to death, because I can see Bill Frist and Denny Hastert coming in and trying to do every sleazy thing under the sun in the couple of weeks they have remaining to them, with a patent agreement from George Bush that, well, you know, if you get it passed, I'll sign it, and there won't be anything the Democrats can do about it.
Well, that's why I say, if we can, at the very least, take the House, we can keep them dodging grand juries.
Or congressional subpoenas. I mean, they carry the same legal force in effect.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At the very least. You know, and that suits me just great.
So you've already voted by mail, so you're just going to...
I didn't even bother with that. I hauled it down to the local election office. I wasn't even going to bother. I wasn't even going to trust it to the U.S. mail. I would make sure that this thing was going to...
You got it straight into their hot little hands.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm making sure my registration.
So you're just going to sit around tomorrow and wait for the returns to come in, maybe fire up the blender, make frozen drinks that you can put umbrellas in and pretend you're down at the beach or something? I mean, yeah.
No, I'm going to be hassling everybody I know. Have you voted yet? You haven't? Why not? You can still take the thing into the county voting office. Do it.
That's the right answer.
In fact, every post on that blog that I've done is busily hectoring people.
Good. Good. People need to be hectored.
Well, I'm good. I nag. I'm a real good nag.
Play to your talents, Susan.
You have a real good night.
All right, thanks. You too.
And take care of Agnes for me.
Going to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and rolling onward, hey, who have I got?
Hi, this is Diana.
Hey, Diana, how you doing?
Washington.
Yes, how are you?
Well, I was really, really very sad. Your wife is such a lovely, lovely woman on the phone. I'm sad to hear she's got double pneumonia.
So too is she sad.
Well, I've had pneumonia, and it's no fun.
No, it's not, and she's been feeling bad. But
you have four kids.
Well, yeah.
Well, they've got to be marched in order there to get right around her bed and get some marching orders on how to help her. You're the captain, and you've got all your charges to.
Well, I'm not, Diana. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything. Bear in mind, but trying to get her to rest or to lay down or to take it easy. Short of the little Velcro restraints that you see in the hospital, it is physically impossible.
She'll get to the point where she can't climb the stairs.
Yeah.
And she'll have to lay down.
Exactly. I mean,
I don't want her to have to get to that point, but she's got to lay down. Is she running a fever?
A little low grader, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She's a nurse, so she knows the deal, but I just feel bad for her. I know that when I've had pneumonia, I've been on all the inhalers and on an antibiotic.
They sent her home with an inhaler, an antibiotic, and like a codeine Phenergan syrup.
Oh, yeah. Too much of that, though, it won't allow her to spit it up, will it?
No.
Codeine?
No.
Yeah, so, well, but she does need her sleep, but you want her to be able to wake up in the morning.
Well, yeah, she doesn't like being out of it. I mean,
oh, I can tell.
She's a cheap drunk too. I mean, she, you know, she starts dancing. You know, you get one shot of liquor into her, and she starts dancing with the light shade on. So,
well,
she stays away from all of that stuff.
She's very charming, and you are too. But I wanted to talk about this thing with Nancy Pelosi. I heard a few weeks ago said she wasn't I don't know what her exact words, but the gist of it was that she wasn't going to go after impeachment.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was just because it's before the election and she doesn't want to bring it up, which is what my guess would be. But also, John Conyers emails me at my website, and not a website, but at my email.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they are definitely going to go after him when he becomes Yahoo, John Conyers, one of my favorite guys in the Congress, when he becomes the committee chair of the Judiciary Committee in the House. And I'm really hopeful that they'll go after these guys and make them accountable. We keep hearing about how, Saddam Hussein is now going to be accountable, and I'm against the death penalty, so he can just sit in jail and tell about all the meetings he has had with Rumsfeld. And so then he can become a witness for when Rumsfeld goes on the docket. That's my opinion.
That would be fine by me. I mean, that's why I really, you know, if, of course, I'm so skeptical now with everything that this rotten administration has done that I'm not convinced that that's Saddam. I mean, we all know that he had like 9 dozen body doubles or whatever. And that could be Saddam 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 12.
Oh, I think that's him. I mean, I have a really fantastic my husband just can't believe how my memory is for faces and voices. And sometimes I can't remember the name, but I remember a face and a voice. And he said, you should have been in the CIA. You could have, you know, fingered a lot of people. Along with that thing about getting him accountable, remember how he doesn't want to sign bills except if he has signing statements?
Right, sure.
Now, can't the Congress, if we have an actually God, please, God, get those stupids in Virginia to get rid of Allen and get the stupids to get rid of Corker or whatever his name is and put Harold Ford in there and McCaskill will get her in. And, of course, John Tester, if he doesn't win, then that guy in Montana is a dolt.
Oh, Ted Stevens, or not Ted Stevens, but the Conrad
Burns
is certifiably insane, Diana.
Oh, he has to be. But anyhow, if we could just take over the Senate and get the House, can't we override, or I don't know what the term is, you're a lawyer, what does the Congress do so that they don't have these signing statements?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question, and I'm not a lawyer, I just have a law education.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I don't practice or anything.
Oh.
But
can't they get rid of those signing statements?
Well, you know, if it was
out there, who knows?
If it was a veto, then you'd have the veto process in place, and you'd have to have a 2/3 majority in both houses in order to override the veto and tell George Bush to eat it and smile. This isn't that case. The signing statements are pretty much extra legal from the ground up. They shouldn't.
Well, who allowed those, and how long have they been in effect?
They've been used periodically by other presidents, but not to the point of having 750 of them like this president has.
Right. It nullifies anything the Congress can do.
Well, we had the conversation with my congressman last week, Diana, and one of the things I raised to him was that Congress passed a law saying that the next FEMA director has to have at least 5 years of experience in emergency management.
Gee, that would be nice.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Yeah. I can't imagine there was even any debate about it.
Yeah, and he signed that signing statement, I know.
That said, that don't matter, I'll appoint whoever the heck I want to.
Yeah, I heard this bogus argument today on a show that, you know, we have to think in terms of, he had some guest on who said that he thought that George Bush really believed in these things and that he's a man of conviction. And this was a liberal guy who had written a book and supposedly liberal, and he just believed that Bush believed in what he's doing. Now, how stupid can you be? I mean, this guy has no moral grounding. You cannot have a moral road if you don't have a moral grounding. This man has not a moral grounding. He does not know what it means to have a conscience or to have...
He doesn't know what it means to take responsibility, Diana.
Or at the least, the most important thing in this life is to try and walk in another person's shoes. He has no empathy. And, you know, I have a quote that I use on one of my forums that says, human kindness has never weakened the stamina or softened the fiber of a free people. A nation does not have to be cruel to be tough. And I like the idea of being tough, without having to be harsh.
And well, right, and I mean
Roosevelt said that.
Yeah, there's an element of what we're doing now that is, I believe, overtly sadistic.
Oh, absolutely. Not just sadistic, but blatantly immoral. I mean, you know, 600,000 people we've killed, and you tell people this in the line at the store, and, you know, these are children and women, and these are old people, and these are young, beautiful men who didn't have any reason to be killed other than the fact that George Bush got it up his crack that he was going to go into Iraq and be the big oil mogul. And that's what it's all about, and him and Cheney. And, oh, it's so sickening. And I think the thing that most made me feel vile and actually physically ill the other night was when they went after Michael J. Fox. I could not believe the evil that anybody would have in them to draw all the wagons around it. Even that woman that happens to be married to this criminal, George Bush, said, it's easy, she said, paraphrase, it's easy to be manipulated. In other words, that Michael J. Fox is manipulating people. Now, to me, that said more about this man's lack of empathy, lack of character, lack of morals. And to say that he believes in his religion or he believes in his vision or whatever in Iraq, it's just, it's evil in itself. And I'm not a religious person, so for me to use evil is loose, but...
You don't have to be religious to understand the concept of evil.
Well, good and evil don't mean that much to me as much as ignorance and enlightenment. But,
yeah.
You know, this is a man of true ignorance and has no sense of empathy. I'm not going to go on.
And the thing is, you can when you start talking about his ignorance, there is ignorance by dint of accident or economics or you were too poor to get an education or whatever, and you are ignorant of some things. But the ignorance that we are dealing with in George Bush's case is particularly dangerous, Diana, because it is willful ignorance. He is proud of his ignorance.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that kind of pride, that arrogance, stems from his lack of self-esteem. The man really has no self-esteem.
Well, I gotta...
In my opinion, I don't feel that if he was in a room with, say, you, I mean, you could just annihilate him. So he has to have this big bravado bullshit that he uses. Can I get turned off?
No, you're okay. This is the internet, so they haven't gotten to us yet.
Okay. But, I mean, this bravado that he uses, to me, it's such an act. And the way he comes out and he walks like he's bow-legged and his hands are flayed out, and then he gives those smirk, like Mike Malloy calls the monkey.
Yeah.
Smirk. I mean, the guy is so insecure, it's obvious, and yet he's playing this big role. And to me, he reminds me of what I assume Caligula must have been like.
Exactly.
He is the closest of all the Caesars would have been maybe Caligula or Nero, and I hope he doesn't start burning things.
Well, no, Nero was...
Although I guess he didn't really do that.
Nero was his problems stemmed from his vanity. He had actually been very, very well schooled and was deemed to have been quite intelligent. Caligula started out well loved and then got terribly, terribly sick. And when he came back from this horrible fever, as the account goes, he was a completely deranged person. And in a way, it makes George Bush worse than either of those because he hasn't had anything happen to him to make him the way he is. He was just raised by a pair of really, really nasty people, and they raised a very nasty child. And he remains that nasty child to this day.
And, you know, I don't know, it takes greater psychoanalysts, and I'm not one, but something is wrong with that whole family because they do not have that sense caring, that they put on this big act, they go to the big thing with, and I don't know why Clinton hangs around with them, but that thing, not Katrina, but what was
called, the tsunami?
The tsunami, yeah. Why did they even bother going there together? I think that Clinton could have gone there by himself. He has more moral fiber than that.
Well, Bill Clinton has been seeking respectability by glad handing with the Bush family. And in fact, when you get right down to it, the few little rumors you hear out of all of that, Diana, you know, there's jokes about how George H.W. and Bill have a father-son relationship now. And that's got to just, I mean, that's got to be absolutely underneath George W.'s fingernails because, you know, he's, there's this, you know, there's this sick psychopathology of, there's Oedipal stuff, and you know that George just wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes screaming, Mommy! You can the whole family dynamic suggests that. I gotta.
Do you think he'll unravel if we take back both houses? Do you think he'll start to unravel psychologically?
No, I think he'll dig his heels in a little bit harder.
I think it'll be the opposite. I think because the whole house of cards is starting to go down, and I just have a feeling things are going to start getting a little more mean, a little more disheveled, a little more strange in his press. Well, there won't be any more press conferences, I'm sure, because they'll probably want to keep him under wraps. But I think he's going to start getting weirder, and I think he'll fall off more couches with pretzels and stuff.
Well, now I think it'll get weirder too. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think, but I do think he'll try to be tough and play the tough guy thing so that he can show what a bunch of sissies the Democrats are.
Well, he already shot his wad on that. Tough guy thing is over. War is a bust, and now he's got to talk about being, if he's got any of these people who know what they're doing. I heard the neocons now are on the wagon of saying, yeah, this was a bad war. Even Richard Pearl.
Richard Pearl, Kenneth Edelman, the whole lot of them in the Vanity
all saying,
Fair thing, yeah.
No, this was a bad war, you know. But they're not involved, of course. They're just at the distance, just observers.
Well, and see, that's what I hate out of all this, because when you see these neocons talking about it, and you can hear it in the Republican faithful too, Diana, what they'll say is, well, you know, George Bush let us down. Our conservative policies really are the true way forward for America. It's George Bush. You know, I don't like George. You know, I've had emails along these lines, but the fact of the matter is, it is conservatism, and it's George Bush's execution on the conservatism. It's conservative policy. It's conservative thought. It's the authoritarianism that John Dean speaks about so eloquently in Conservatives Without Conscience. That is the problem.
And you know what? They have to do a Nuremberg-type impeachment proceeding, because this guy and his cohorts have to be brought to justice.
Well, and then that's
to let the rest of the world know we're not better than the Nazis. I mean, in terms of getting the wool pulled over their eyes, we are not going to let them not show the world that they were a bunch of crooks.
Well, and see, that's Dick Cheney drew a line in the sand saying, I don't care if the Congress does subpoena me, I ain't coming.
Sure. Well, let him not come, then he's going to have to send a surrogate.
No, I want him dragged there in chains.
Yeah, drag him there in chains.
I want him held in contempt.
Sure, he doesn't have an arm on him.
Because contempt of Congress. Well, see, that's the other thing. The contempt of Congress is grounds for impeachment.
Well, he has had contempt for the country, and for the world, and for this little country of Iraq with all the babies he's killed, and all that phosphorus that burns their skin, and our young men who come back, and we never get to see anything about this war. I'm old enough, when I marched against the Vietnam War, we could see every day, even though they were tapes that were 3 or 4 days old from Vietnam, you could see the misery that we were wreaking on that people, the napalm and the bombs and the people running and their... Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the photo of the little naked child running down the road, yeah.
And the guy getting his head blown.
But see, we're not allowed to see those photographs
now. No, we're not allowed to see that. That's why I think we've gone downhill. And then we see more and more. I mean, 20 years ago, you never saw these Vietnam veterans and these homeless guys on the corner with signs. Up here in Olympia, you never saw that. Or in Seattle. But now, you see that. And, you know, that is a really a harbinger of things to come if we don't get things straight. But I better get off because I'm guilty being on so long when there's better callers.
Oh, no. Don't you ever sell yourself out
but
that way.
Agnes, we'll pray for you over here in Olympia because I know how weak you can get. So you take care of yourself because those babies need you and this guy needs you.
That's the absolute truth. She just walked back into the room, too. Okay. Diana, thanks so much.
Okay, good night. We're going to win!
Bye-bye. Yeah, bye now. All right, and let's see. Let's go to Ed very quickly. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Very good conversation.
Thank you.
But the definition of ignorance is not knowing. I think George Bush knows. He knows exactly what he's doing. So that's my only comment about the ignorance part.
Okay.
Now, stupid, overbearing, arrogant is other terms that you could apply to him. But I wanted to tell you something. I know for sure what I'm talking about. Ray Hall has consulted lawyers in Washington about being called a terrorist. About Steve O'Brien calling him a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
So you would look for some churning of the water there, which is great. Let these blabbermouths like that know that that people like Kessler and Ray Hall and other people are not going to take his crap.
Yeah.
But he's still representative of that station.
Oh, that's
and until the people start boycotting all the stuff that they advertise.
I tell you what, Ed, if things come out on Wednesday like we hope that they come out, you're going to hear some blood curdling stuff on right wing radio starting Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm tuned in with your station and know what to do. And I tried to get back from the eyeglass place this morning to call a station in Connecticut called Viewpoint. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not.
Haven't, no.
And they have a lot of guys like Ralph Nader and different guys on that. And I was going to tell them, don't shame the nation by putting Joe Lieberman back in. It's one thing to have local representation where the people select who's going to represent them. But this guy represents the nation when you get those high posts like they got.
Sure.
And I'm very disappointed that that the point spread is what it is up there. And even with some mistakes and the four-point tolerance that's there, it looks like Lieberman's back in there. Because the Republicans up there are pouring money into that situation.
Right. Yeah, as much as, yeah.
And because the other guy thinks only the Republican, which I can't show you what interest he stirs, he's only got about 8%, you know, points or whatever. But Lieberman's leading that thing by about 56 to 30-something. And I talked to my son-in-law last night about it. And so I got this number, and I was aiming to call. You have to call between 10 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't make it back in time to call. And I might try to call in the morning and see if you can just get just a few people to change. It's worthwhile.
Yes, it is.
But I guess you know that Bush come out with this indicating that that just to prove what we've done to Saddam Hussein is just a big step, you know. It didn't cost but over 3,000 soldiers' lives, 21,000 wounded, 18,000.
Yeah, when all we had to do, Ed, was wait for the old SOB to die.
Or
it comes to us all, you know.
Yeah, or take another. There's another route. They call it assassination.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that when you got a person. If rather than sacrifice, make the sacrifice that we did. And, you know, I mentioned.
But see, the thing that's worth remembering, Ed, is that as long as Saddam was in power in Iraq, then you had a balance in that region because the Iran knew that they couldn't lick him and he knew he couldn't lick Iran and everybody had to more or less behave themselves. That genie is out of the bottle now.
Uh-huh. And another thing, he held the terrorists at bay, too.
That's the truth.
And,
I mean, see, you know, there was no Al Qaeda connection with Iraq. There was no connection between Saddam and Bin Laden. Bin Laden hated Saddam, and Saddam hated him.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, Bush is still trying to connect all of that. He's trying to connect still 9/11 with that. And I had one person tell me, well, Saddam Hussein let him use that place as a training ground.
Lies.
You know, what a bunch of, you know, that's coming, I'm talking about the people in this country.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and that kind of stuff was all over Fox, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's on Fox. That I can't say on your program what I think of George Bush and those Fox stations. There's just not enough of bad stuff that you can say without cutting their throat. But today, again, people are just fed up. I mean, the ones that's got any sense at all, and I watched when George Bush got before him and told him, said, it's going to increase your child's taxes, $500 to $1,000 a year for each child. Well, so what? I'd rather do that than to pay the billions of dollars out that we're financing this war with that our grandbabies and we're going to have to pay for eventually, unless he's also a debt dodger.
Well, you know, is there anything sleazier than ripping off children? Because that's what these Republicans are doing, Ed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're gonna try to. They know nothing but intimidation. And, you know, it makes me mad. It's like being tied up and somebody slapped you. You know what you do if you could get loose. And that's the way I feel about them. It's always a threat, just like the threat of these taxes on our children.
Yeah, and which, you know, there's no truth to in the first place, but, you know, maybe they can scare somebody into believing it. That's the only way they operate is fear. Ed, I've got to take one more call before the time runs out, but it's awful good to hear from you.
Okay, could I say one more thing real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
The people that is listening to this program, I would like to see them get behind it. It's easy to talk, but get behind it and support it financially and vocally, too, and support the issues, and then I think we'll be in a whole lot better shape.
Well, thanks, Ed.
And I thank you.
All right, you have a good night.
You too.
Bye now. And onward to our good friend Chipper. A couple minutes left. Hey, Chipper, how's it going?
Hey, Bob, it's going great. First, I want to address something that last caller said. I live in Connecticut. I'm a voter in Connecticut, and Ned Lamont's going to win in Connecticut. And not only is he going, we're going to send three Democratic Congress people right along with him. We're going to do our part up here in the Nutmeg State to get things to right.
Good.
The internal polling is closer now than it was the night before the primary.
Wow.
That ought to tell you something.
Well, why is it then that we're being fed all this this hooey about how Lieberman's, you know, 9 miles out in front of Lamont?
Simply put, because, number one, the two major polling organizations that the mainstream media use in Connecticut are, for the most part, funded by a lot of right-wing sources. So you're not going to get the real story. You're not going to get the real number. You're not going to get the real numbers. One of the biggest facts are is the volunteer gap. Lieberman's volunteers are bought and paid for. Everybody that Lamont has volunteering for him, myself included, is a volunteer. And we're outnumbering them 100-1. Plus, because of Lamont's effort in the primary and now, voter registrations for the Democrats are going through the roof right now. The number of first-time voters in this state went up something like 45%. From the last election cycle. And all those new voters are not exactly accounted for when the polling numbers and when the rolls and when all the basic statistics are put together.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you don't have the whole, Bob, a lot of people don't have the whole picture. But either way, tomorrow we're winning. I'm going to do my part. I'll be at my polling place at 6 a.m. sharp. I'm going to go vote, and then I'm going to be holding signs, passing out, trying to get as many as many progressive candidates elected as possible. But I know the time is short. But I've heard a lot of people at work, at where I work today, saying, why am I voting? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
They'll yes, it does.
It anyway. But I'm going to give people real quick why it matters. I feel the need to give a pep talk tonight.
Okay.
If you believe our truth, if you believe our troops need a square deal, you need to be voting tomorrow. If you believe that this war was a lie, you need to be voting tomorrow. If you believe that those soldiers, sailors, and airmen who can't question their orders, who can't question their orders, need someone to question those orders, that's our job as civilians, you need to be voting tomorrow. If you are against these Republican bullies who have gone to the old formula because they can't run on a record, they can't run an economy, they spent trillions of dollars,